Please open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3. We're going to continue our study in the book of James, and we are going to begin talking today about the tongue. We're not going to cover the tongue the way that James has presented it all in one lesson. I'm going to split it up into two, but today I want us just to realize how this small member of our body can be an instrument for bad, and it could be an instrument for good. James says there, in beginning in verse 1 of James 3, says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that he who teaches will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." So the Holy Spirit has inspired James to describe in vivid detail the fact that our tongue can get us in a lot of trouble. It can be something that would really just sort of destroy relationships and things around us. And we think about this small part of our body, and maybe we don't think about it very often. Our tongue is probably one of those parts of our body that, until there's a problem, we just don't think much about it, speaking of the physical tongue. But he's not just talking about the physical tongue and what we do. It is an instrument that our body uses along with our voice in order to produce language. And that's really what James is talking about, producing language. Our tongue has a role physically in terms of our taste buds and our chewing and forms the sounds that we talk. But spiritually, it is that which communicates something from the heart. And I think that's really where we need to understand James is going, is that what you put in your heart is directly connected to what comes out in your speech. And so it is revealing. It can be used to build up or tear down. It can be used to be help or to hinder any and every situation. We're supposed to be slow to speak because we need to process what our thoughts might be and redirect them if necessary. So if I'm faced with some situation, I have a choice then. Am I going to say something in which I'm trying to build up, or will I say something which I am tearing down? And he says, if you just say anything and everything without considering the ramifications of what we're about to say, then it can set a fire ablaze. And so what I want to talk to you this morning about is this connection with the tongue and the heart, or our spirit. That the heart is the seat of our immortality, that spirit within us. God has given this to every human being. It is something that is special to only this portion of God's creation, to mankind. We possess the ability to think, the ability to reason, the ability to plan, the ability to show emotion. The thoughts of the heart, good or evil, are exposed for all to see by what we communicate. Some people might be a little bit better at having some restraint and hiding what might be in their heart, but sooner or later, It does come out in one way or another. Our words have the power to drive us into sin, which defiles us, but that defilement had to begin in the heart. Look with me over in the book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we'll start in verse 10. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. Matthew 15 and verse 10. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." So he says, you know, you can eat food, and maybe that food might not be good for you. It might make you sick, but we can deal with that. Our bodies are designed to deal with it. It gets expelled. It gets driven out of the body in one way or another. But he says, what's really a problem is that you've got corruption sitting in the heart, and that's coming out through the mouth. That is action. And he says, not just what we say. He says, out of the heart comes these evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, all these different things, because they started in the heart. That's what we need to understand. If we are ever going to control ourselves, our actions, we must guard the heart. There's no way around that. If your heart is not harboring good things, then you will not be engaged in good and righteous action. So God is saying the tongue and the heart, they are directly connected. But God gave the tongue as a gift to mankind. Physically and spiritually. Obviously, which one of us would want to go without our tongue? We would lose so much in life if we did not have the use of our tongue. But spiritually, likewise, if we did not have the ability to communicate, there would be so much that would be missing. And we look around at creation, and you can say, well, you know, all animals have tongues. Yes, physically, all animals, you know, they've got tongues. They use it to drink. They use it to eat. They use it for different things. But they don't have the gift of speech, so it's not the same thing. Again, man is different. Man is given something extra. God has given us a gift and the ability to communicate with very precise ideas. But they begin in the heart. We don't see any animals around us that can communicate the way that we do. Yes, I realize we can have pets that we get certain signals from them that they want to go out, they want to, you know, get fed, they need something from us. We even have some animals that mimic some of the sounds that we make. And we say that they're talking, but they're not really talking. They're not communicating the way that God has given us the ability to communicate, which also is the ability to reason. So God has given us the tongue, and that tongue has great abilities. And we communicate constantly with each other. We don't always understand each other. There's a difference. I can talk all I want, but I may not really be engaged in communication if you don't understand the things that I say. So every once in a while, you know, you might come across maybe a TV station that's in another language. You know, pretty much any other language than English, I'm not going to understand what they're saying. I remember taking German in high school, and in German 2, one of the ways that he used to test us was to play a taped news broadcast in German and then ask us questions about it. And I would frantically there on the piece of paper just be trying to pick out words that I caught and be jotting them down and writing them down so that I had some key words to try to answer those questions at the end. But I got to tell you, I didn't get anything out of those news broadcasts. It was really just those key words that I caught. I didn't comprehend those things. And we all have, you know, certain realms in which we have knowledge and expertise. We got a couple of engineers in our membership here, and I have no doubt whatsoever that if I asked them to sit down and explain one of those engineering processes to me, I'm going to be lost at probably about half a minute in. That's beyond my understanding, beyond my scope of knowledge. So even though we might communicate, there might be some barriers to communication as well. Some preachers can formulate arguments to defend the truth better than others. Some are more eloquent than others. Some have even better knowledge of certain subjects or dealing with certain questions than others might have. Some teachers in Bible classes might be easier to listen to than others. Some of that is a matter of holding attention. Some people have the ability to make other people laugh. And we admire that because we enjoy being able to have something comical or entertaining to laugh at. They might even have the ability to make us laugh when we think nothing could make me laugh, when I'm in a down state, and they just have the ability to cheer people up. But the abilities of the tongue can still create great harm. How many wars have been started because of the words of a couple of leaders? How many families have been divided because of the things that might be said within that family or even a church? How many friendships have been destroyed because of something carelessly said that cannot be taken back? The tongue is used to slander the innocent. It is used sometimes to misrepresent God and His Word. It's used to discourage and deflate others, to upset and depress them, to glorify the ego of man, to build themselves up and put them above others, to advance secular human wisdom, and even to condone disobedience to God's word. On the other hand, we could do some good things with the tongue. Instead of making wars, we can make peace. Instead of dividing our families, we could unite our families. We can unite the church. We can strengthen our friendships. We can give a compliment to someone and build them up instead of trying to put ourselves first. We can accurately teach the truth of God as the Word of God has presented it. We can encourage others. We can inspire others. We can comfort others. We can console others. We can glorify God through worship and song. We can teach the lost. We can educate the saved. We can correct the disobedient. So what's the dividing line between the two? It's what are the thoughts and intents of the heart that makes all the difference. All these things are done with the powerful ability of the gift of speech that God has granted to us. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." How we use the tongue is very, very important. James chapter 1 and verse 26, you know, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Put some limitations, some strength behind that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6, "Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands?" Have you ever seen someone say something careless, and then they make the statement, "I shouldn't have said that, but I just can't help it"? Something along those lines? Yes, we can, but it takes training. It takes that bridle. Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." The psalmist is praying for help in controlling his speech. I mean, we've got others. Proverbs chapter 18, "A fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calls for blows." 18 and verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. You seen somebody that loves to argue so much that they jump right in before you've even finished anything? They just want to be engaged and they want to act in such a way in which they're very aggressive in that debate. But James 1 and verse 19 told us, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Psalm 139 and verse 4. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it. You know it all together. That's because the Lord knows what's in our hearts. The Lord knows what's stored up in there that's connected to that speech. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. With a lot of words means a lot of opportunities to sin. A lot of opportunities to misuse something that God has granted to us that could be used for righteous and wholesome means. In verse 21 of Proverbs 10, he says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. We're probably familiar with Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I couldn't believe just this morning on the news, they had a study that they were talking about. They were talking about profanity. And they were saying that using profanity was a good thing. And they were saying, as one of their points within this study, was that if you use profanity in an argument with somebody, that you could be doing that instead of coming to blows. And immediately in my mind, I thought, no, that usually ends in coming to blows. People get it so backwards when they want to justify their own sinful behavior. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And then people explode. No good comes from it. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Have you seen somebody that liked to talk all the time, but everything that came out just seemed like foolishness? Proverbs 20 and verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So let's think about the opposite. Have you ever known somebody who wasn't often to speak, but when they spoke, everybody wanted to listen? Everybody wanted to hear what they had to say because they took the time to think about what they were going to say. They utilized what they had learned, especially through God's Word, and were able to communicate that in a beneficial way. Everybody wanted to hear it. Now, if you're like me, you know, I'm one of those people that I don't always know the best thing to say. And we have this social awkwardness, right? When we're standing with someone, if they say something to us, we feel compelled. We must say something in return. We must speak because it feels awkward. There's a social expectation. And sometimes we say something and then we think, that was terrible. Not necessarily sinful, but maybe we're just thinking, I just tripped all over myself with that. That was foolish. We need to be thinking how we can prepare something. And it's okay to not necessarily have something to say if it's not going to be something beneficial in the moment. Proverbs 21 and verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Keep yourself out of trouble. Don't create trouble for yourself. I hate to think about all the times that I've had to apologize because I said something incorrect in the moment or said something that was not beneficial. I would like to think I'm a lot better about that than I was many, many years ago. But still, all of us have a careless word that we've spoken at some point. None of us is immune to that. James said, look, if you could control your tongue, then you must be a perfect person. Because this is the hardest part. It's the hardest thing. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, for he who would live life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Hold it back. Restrain it. Make sure that it's connected to those good things. Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I always think about that, you know. How do we make sure that we season what we're saying, that it's palpable to somebody else? Well, I think about a chef in there cooking a meal. What does a chef do? They taste their food. They check it. We need to mentally check what we're about to say before we let it out. Does it need a little more salt? Does it need to be seasoned a little bit more? We need to be checking ourselves before we speak. I understand social awkwardness, as I mentioned a while ago, but there is nothing wrong with just being quiet until you're ready to speak. I have to do that pretty often. That's something I had to train myself to do over time. I've never been a particularly loquacious person, unless you get me talking about something I've been reading a lot about it at some point, or something I've been studying, but I've never been a super talkative person. But still, I had to learn to think things through. And there's times in which someone might say something to me, or we might have a discussion. I don't say anything, and I go away, and I'm thinking about that for a couple of days. I'm just kind of working my way through that. You know what I've discovered? I kind of have levels of reaction to things, especially if it's some situation that might produce an emotional response. Because what I do is, usually the first response is not the right one. The first response is, file 13, toss that in the trash, okay? The second response may be better, but we're not there yet. That's still file 13. It's usually my third thought and response is where I settle. We need to do that. Maybe you don't have to go through it the same way that I do, but there's a process that we need to develop within ourselves regarding how I speak. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. We have to give an answer for everything that we say, even every careless word. Those things that are said without forethought. So God actually has quite a bit to say about this gift of the tongue. He gives us a lot of warnings. He gives us a lot of information about it. We need to utilize that to be the best that we can be as His children. So maybe we don't have a problem, as I mentioned, with that news report. Maybe we don't have an issue with profanity. Maybe that's not a problem. But maybe I have an issue with what comes out when I talk to people. What's the first thoughts that I'm having? When I meet somebody and I'm talking with them, do I go to spiritual things or do I always go to sports and weather? Do I go to spiritual things and try to influence them from the Word of God? Or do I avoid those subjects and never act as the salt and light of this world? See, part of what God gave us these tongues for, the gift of communication, is to be that salt and light, is to be that influence to those that are around us. So part of that mental process that we need to go through in terms of what am I going to say next, maybe part of that process is, how can I insert God into this conversation? How can I insert a spiritual thought into this encounter? Years ago, the boys and I both, we went down and we were participating in martial arts training in Belen, New Mexico. And obviously they knew what kind of work I was in, and they were somewhat religious, but not really dedicated. And I made the comment one day, you know, we'll see at the next class if the Lord wills. And he thought that was funny, kind of made a joke about it. And I later said to him, I said, "Do you not realize that God is in control? You're not in control." You see, when you heard that from me, you thought, well, I'll decide whether I'm there or not. I said, but in reality, God decides whether he's going to give you that opportunity. He's going to even give you that day. We need to be able to insert something in there to just maybe just provoke a little bit of thought. Now, granted, I may not say it that way to somebody I didn't know. We knew him to some degree by that point. But still, we need to find a way to just think about how I can put just one little nugget in there and have some influence on those that are around us. Use your tongue for good. Well, next week we're going to talk a little bit more about the tongue. I'm going to go back to verse 2 before we close out. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man able to bridle the whole body. If we can develop discipline and self-control, James says, you're going to be so far ahead. You're going to be so far along in your spiritual journey. Because if we can develop self-control here, then we develop self-control in our whole life. And so a thorough understanding of the proper and improper use of our tongues can prevent us from stumbling in a lot of things, creating a lot of trouble for ourselves. And that's a lot of what the Bible tells us. This is a trouble area, avoid it. That's what the writer in Proverbs spends a lot of time doing. This is what you're going to see out there. Don't get associated with that, because it's going to get you in a lot of trouble. You're going to sin in that regard. So stay away from it. Instead, choose this. Preview, we're going to talk about that tonight. But if you realize here today that there is a need to make some changes in your life, to become a child of God or to rededicate yourself through repentance, we want to offer an invitation to you, an offer of assistance. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Be happy to study with you on any subject that maybe is troubling you. Then just make it known to us. We're going to sing number 817 as our song of invitation. It's titled, Give Me Thy Heart. We need to give God our heart and make sure that we are storing up in our heart those righteous things. If we can help you, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.